Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome. This is the Over the Monster recap precap podcast here. This might sound a bit different to you. Unfortunately, you know, Keaton cannot be with us for this, you know, this little episode here. And it's just me, Shelley for straight, kind of talking about the Orioles series that happened and previewing the twin series here. But we have Brian Joyner here. This is our first time ever, like, you know, talking about actual Red Sox baseball. So I'm really excited to talk with you, Brian. How are you doing this weekend?
I'm doing wonderful. And if we're ever going to talk for the first time about the Red Sox, I'd love it to be after they have clinched a six-game winning streak, which is just amazing given where we were a week ago at this point.
100%. Yeah, I remember talking about Keaton, talking with Keaton about like the first series, and we were just basically, this is the worst. I thought 2020 was the worst, but this is the worst. But yeah, this is definitely not the worst. We are on an awesome, just, you know, feel good, you know, situation here. You know, we swept the Rays you know, during the week, and yeah, we kind of did the same thing with the Orioles here. So we'll go over basically the, you know, the series here, and then we'll kind of look to the series coming up against the Twins. But the first game we had E-Rod. He made his major league debut for 2021. He went up against Hunter Harvey, Matt Harvey. He went, about five innings, four hits, seven strikeouts, zero walks, and we actually, you know, won that game 7-3. So, what were your kind of thoughts about this first game here?
Well, I was happy that after they had such close calls against Harvey in the second game of the year that they were able to actually do what sort of value neutral you would hope the Red Sox do against Matt Harvey. I mean, and the story of the game was Eduardo Rodriguez coming back, and he wasn't the sharpest in the world, but it didn't matter because of how good the offense was, and it also almost wouldn't have mattered if he had given up 10 runs in three innings because we just wanted to see him back there. But as it turned out, even with a not perfect outing, just a maybe even a mediocre one by objective standards, he came off as mostly back, and the Sox offense showed that they can hit Matt Harvey, which is a very, very important thing to do. And it came on the heels of the Rays series where, and we know better than this, but after they got swept by the Orioles and swept the Rays, they're like, well, maybe it's just the Rays. No, no, they're good. And they put the wood to Harvey to start the series and continued, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really great to see that it wasn't just kind of like a fluke, you know, coming, you know, back off like the really horrible opening series against the Orioles. And it wasn't just, okay, you know, just the kind of Rays, we just kind of got to them. But yeah, it was really, really good to see that the bats really, really opened up. You know, Verdugo, J.D. Martinez, Vasquez, and Devers both had multi-hit games in this first matchup. When you were watching this game, like, were you very encouraged, or did you just kind of think it was a fluke? What did you think?
I think that as far as E-Rod goes, I'm not reading a terrible amount into it. As long as he's out there and be able to go, that's great. I am reading into their ability to hit Matt Harvey, because I think that will be I think them not doing it in game two is going to end up being more of the exception than the rule. So I was encouraged.
Yeah, I totally agree. So now we go to game two of this series. We had Garrett Richards going up against Bruce Zimmerman. We had that in the first series of the year, and it did not go well for Garrett Richards. But he did look much better in this second outing. He went 5 innings. He only gave up 3 hits, got 4 strikeouts. But he also gave up 3 walks. But in the end, you know, the Red Sox did win 6-4 in 10 innings. What were your thoughts about Garrett Richards? Do you really think that this is, something that we need to be encouraged about? Or are you still scared about Garrett Richards?
I mean, it was better. It wasn't as bad as the first outing. It wasn't good. It wasn't terrible, like the first outing was. I'm going to give him at least a month, first of all, because he might get hurt by the end of that month. I'm sorry, Garrett. I'm sorry. You're a beautiful man. I'm sorry, with that mustache. But I'm not going to go crazy for him to be replaced by Tanner Houck or anything. I generally think that Houck will be in the rotation because of somebody else's injury or Garrett Richards. Somebody's, and we don't need to force that. But this game wasn't just about the offense, which came up big in so many big spots. It was about the offense being totally locked in. And there's a difference between just having a baseline good offense. And then I think the Red Sox have better than a baseline good offense. But when a better than baseline good offense is locked in, they can do special things. And I think that's what happened in that game. And we will get to it, but obviously the game after as well.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. The offense really, really stepped up big here. I also agree with you about Richards. Like, yeah, this was definitely a better start than his first start, but it still wasn't great. I'm still, you know, just a little bit concerned kind of with how he has kind of looked in his first two starts.
Both against the Orioles, too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the Orioles, and he's struggling, or kind of struggling, and it's just like, you shouldn't be struggling against the Orioles. As much as I love Baltimore, love you guys. But anyway, Adam Ottavino, he kind of had like a shaky, you know, eighth inning. You know, he gave up three hits, which led to two earned runs. Are you kind of concerned about, like, kind of Ottavino? Like, he kind of struggled a little bit in 2020. He struggled in 2021. Are you concerned with kind of, like, his outlook going forward?
A little bit. And part of it comes down to, I mean, if the Yankees traded him to us, what does that say? And I feel like it says that this could be him from here on out. And that's less concerning when you don't expect the team to be very good and you're just aiming for upside. But the team in a week has totally flipped that on its head. And, you know, it's still April 11th or 12th. I don't know what day it is, but it's one of those days. And it's early, so he has time to get better. But at the same time, if the Sox continue to be good, they're going to need him to be good. And if he's not, I could see, I don't know if I could see moves happening to downplay his importance. But I mean, relievers are in some sense inherently fungible. That's not entirely true, but they are. This happens. They can just lose it. What do you think?
Honestly, I am a bit concerned. I mean, when Ottavino was a free agent, you know, 2 years ago, I really wanted the Red Sox to sign him, but then he signed with the Yankees, and I was like, oh, dang it, you know. But he didn't look that great in 2020. You know, I'm just like, well, it was just kind of like one or two outings there, whatever. And, you know, then when we traded for him, I'm like, oh, yeah. But it's just, it hasn't looked good for a while. So I am a bit concerned because, just like you said, like, you know, relievers are a unique bunch. Like, they can go, I hate to say it like this, but they can go bad very quickly. And I'm hoping that Ottavino is not what we have seen currently. But I am just a bit concerned, just because he's a reliever, and sometimes this happens to these guys.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, he was one of these people that I really hated because he became a Yankee, and I always liked him. And the Yankees have this terrible tendency recently to get players that I like or get or draft. Like, I like Aaron Judge. Sue me. Like, he's cool, but I would like him to be the player I liked when he was on the Yankees and not a bad one. I want, if we get a player from the Yankees, we deserve some performance for having to deal with the emotions. So I would like a little bit better than what he's shown.
Yeah, I totally agree there. But yeah, we've won, you know, 2 out of 2, and then we go to the last game against the Orioles. Well, it's Pivetta versus Jorge Lopez, and we swept. We did a double sweep, so sweep against the Orioles. We won 14-9. Pivetta kind of sort of looked good again, I guess. I mean, he went 6 innings, 7 hits, 7 Ks, 3 walks. It's not that bad. What are your initial thoughts about Pivetta for his, you know, his first couple starts here?
No, this might be a little bit pessimistic, but then again, we did get some tweets at the OTM account this week that they were happy that Matt and I were on a podcast together because we're so negative, and it was just a big party of negativity. But I'm a little bit worried about Pivetta. I feel like there are some bad times coming because he's had 2 strong enough outings by pure results, but the baseline is a little bit concerning to me. And I think that part of the reason that this team was projected to go 81-81 or 80-82 or 82-80, one of those, that generally across the board, I think, was that the good times that we are enjoying right now will be brought low by one force or another. And more than any of the starting pitchers who were off to strong starts, I suspect Nick Pivetta could be the cause of some of that. But I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that you're wrong as well. You know, his first start was against Tampa. He went, you know, 5 innings, you know, 4 strikeouts, but he also did, you know, he also had 4 walks. Again, he goes up against the Orioles, which is not necessarily the best lineup, and he did okay. I just, if the team, especially offensively, keeps performing like they have been, I think that we need to do better than Pivetta. And I do think that, you know, Tanner Houck, maybe even Connor Siebold, who I really do like, could probably do better, maybe during the summer. But, yeah, I'm just a little bit, you know, worried about, like, really getting excited about Pivetta because, I mean, I play fantasy baseball. I was a Pivetta fan when he totally, you know, kind of like, you know, shit the bed when he was with the Phillies. So yeah, I'm just a little bit hesitant to buy in, but it was still a pretty good outing for Pivetta here.
Hold on. So just value neutral. If I said middle of the season, Houck or Siebold is going to be a starter, who would you prefer? As of right now, obviously.
As of right now? Ooh. I say Siebold. I really like Siebold for some reason. I don't know why.
I see that. And I think there's a... Now, we haven't seen Siebold yet. Sure. This year in the majors. But, I mean, Houck looks like he just can be a devastating reliever right now. And, you know, maybe they make him a starter, maybe they don't. But we'll see. Maybe they won't need one. Of course they'll need one, but that's not important. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Maybe we don't, and that would be great.
Yeah, I hope that we don't have to cross that bridge. But I'm glad that you kind of like Siebold as much as I do. It's kind of interesting. Like,
I think that Chaim is, he's made so many good moves. The Red Sox have made so many good moves, and it pains me because I'm still, sorry, listeners, I'm still very sad about Mookie, and I think that he could have made You, if you're this smart without Mookie, you could be the smart with Mookie. But there's no denying that they've made some great moves. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Siebold proved himself on a sort of longer term level to be baseline better than Pivetta. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Hauk was better than both of them, but that's not important as much right now.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I mean, it was basically in this last game against the Orioles, it was kind of like a home run derby. You know, JD Martinez had 3, Devers had 2, Verdugo had his first of the season. What do you think about just kind of the offensive explosion that we had in this last game here?
I mean, JD Martinez is on pace for like 88 home runs, so... I'm going to take it. He wasn't even going to play today. He was on the COVID-19 reserve list until like 12:15 for a 110 game and then came out here and hit 3 home runs. he's certainly all the way back. And it's not, you know, it's so wonderful to see. It's crazy that 2018 was so bountiful, and then 2019 was like a just consistently dwindling version of 2018, and last year was terrible. They just bottomed out so quickly, but in the last week have popped right back up to the top of like offenses to watch. They're just incredible. So for as long as this lasts, it's as good as you can get watching baseball.
Yeah, it really is. Like what, you know, the offensive guys have done. You know, Bogey hit .615 against the Orioles. Vasquez, I love this dude. You know, he's hit .692. Like just everything has gone off. Everything offensively has just been like, you know, chef's kiss, right? Just absolutely perfect. Obviously we don't expect, you know, this every single series, but do you see, you know, some good things here, especially with maybe with Devers and Verdugo, who has kind of been struggling prior to like these last couple of games? What are your thoughts about Devers and Verdugo?
I'm strangely, this might sound weird, I'm more encouraged by Devers because I'm strangely more convinced that Verdugo is going to hit. And that's just a matter of, as much as I am still and perpetually not thrilled with the Mookie trade, I do think that Chaim knows what he's doing, and I think Verdugo's gonna hit. And there, it seemed to me as recently as last week that Devers, you know, I was listening to these games on the radio, and Devers, they were talking about him like he was a dead man walking. They were also saying that he, you know, he just needed one home run to break out of it. So I was just happy to see what the Devers could do, what they were saying he needed to do to get out of there. And I'm not really worried about either of them, honestly. Are you?
I'm not. I'm just really encouraged that, you know, both of them kind of just got going, you know, kind of like how I thought they were going to get. I'm not discouraged by either Devers or Verdugo. It was just really great to see just all the runs. Love to see it.
This seemed like I'm sure they had a game like this in 2019. I'm sure they did. I don't remember it. I'm pretty sure they didn't have a game like this in 2020. This this was like 2018, and 2018 is obviously a special year, and the World Series years are all special in their own ways. But this was more of this was what the 2018 did. 2018 team did to win games. And it was wonderful, and it was wonderful to watch for the last 3 days.
Yeah, you are totally correct. This last series just great. The offense was awesome, but then when it wasn't that great, it still picked up the pitching. You know, in that second game, we still won in 10 innings, and we swept the Orioles, which is great. We got a double sweep here. So we're gonna preview like the next series, which really should be interesting. We're gonna go up against the Minnesota Twins. We got a 4-game set. I think this one's really gonna be a really interesting series. I'm gonna go over the pitchy matchups, and then we'll kind of like discuss this kind of just ad hoc. So in the first game, we got Martin Perez versus Jay Happ. Second game, we got Iovaldi and Maeda, which, bring your popcorn there. We got, Rodriguez versus Berrios. Like that 2-3 game. Rodriguez and Berrios is really going to be fun. And then to wrap up the series, we got Garrett Richards and Pineda there. So it really should be interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think that the Twins, I think, have slight edges in the first three matchups. Slight. I think Happ is a little better. Well, okay, no. Happ might be a little bit more than a little better than Perez. God bless me and God bless all of us and our Perez Day shirts. And I hope he does well. But I think Happ is good. And I don't know if Perez is good so much as he's just average. Maeda versus Eovaldi, as you say, is great. But Maeda at his best, I mean, it's still crazy to me. Maeda finished second in the Cy Young voting last year. Second!
Yeah.
And then Berrios versus Rodriguez is another one that has the potential for greatness, but I think Berrios is probably acknowledged to be a little bit better. But then there's Richards versus Pineda, which is to me just like the same exact pitcher going against one another. And given how the Sox offense has been, I do like the Red Sox chance in a bunch of these games.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that middle bunch there, the second, third game, is definitely going to be extremely fun to watch from a pitching standpoint. But, I mean, what we've seen for the Red Sox offense here recently should be fun. But the Twins, they have some hitters, too, like Byron Buxton and Nelson Cruz. They both have 4 home runs and are hitting above 400. Jordan Simmons, Arraez, are also hitting, above, 300, 350, right? Like, they have a really good core, like, right at the top. But it kind of falls, off a cliff. Are you concerned about, like, Buxton and Cruz and Arraez hitting at the top of that lineup to maybe... maybe rattle Martin Perez and maybe even Erod as well?
Well, if Buxton can make it through the series healthy, I'll be worried about him. Sorry, Byron. I'm sorry. It's mean. Cruz, yes. I mean, Cruz is one of the most amazing players I've ever seen, just in terms of what he does with longevity and consistency at this advanced age. I mean, he's one of the more, it's totally admirable, and he's going to take the Red Sox deep several times. Andrelton, I'm not as worried about. I mean, he's fine. And he has had some periods of hitting really well. I think the Red Sox offense is way better. So I think the Twins have been hitting well. I think the Red Sox have just have a baseline better offense.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Buxton, I love to see him just going off. I just don't know how healthy he can stay. And Cruz, oh, God bless him. Like, he is the GOAT. He is the best. Like, what he does, I don't know how he does it, but he just manages to hit, like, all these home runs, and I love it.
It's also, it's so hard if you didn't catch the ball that would have literally won the World Series to be known for anything else. And I feel like he's very successfully done it because this is like 10 years later almost. And he's just, he's just hitting 40 home runs a year. I respect the heck out of the guy.
Yeah, I do as well. But yeah, outside of Buxton, Cruz, and maybe Aruz, Simmons is kind of on a hot streak, but he kind of goes on these kind of things. It really does fall off, and I really do trust the Red Sox lineup overall than the Twins lineup. But when I was kind of like looking into, you know, a couple of just like stats and stuff, I did notice that the Twins pitching has been able to kind of diminish home runs. I don't know if that's maybe that they're, you know, kind of pitching in Minnesota where the air is cold and the ball doesn't necessarily fly. Are you a little bit concerned about maybe we won't see as many home runs as we did this past couple series?
Well, I prefer. Hold on. Just as a general note, I if there were fewer home runs, that'd be fine. But that's not your point. I did hear on the radio, it's going to snow for the first game. So that is going to be that's always fun. It's going to be in the 30s and it's going to snow. So, that doesn't help a team that's been hitting a ton of home runs. And it does help the team with slightly better pitching, which I think that the Twins have. So, yeah, I mean, those are real concerns. But I think that the Sox, if anything, that just evens the playing field to make it pretty much exactly a 50-50 proposition. Whereas I think that value neutral, the Sox probably have a little bit of advantage right now, just because they're hitting so well. The Twins are not a bad team at all. So I think this will be, I don't know if it'll be clarifying. It's a little bit early to say it's clarifying, but it's nice to face a team that isn't the defending AL champs or the perpetual doormats and see what happens.
I totally agree. Okay. So I kind of want to get your kind of like predictions here. We have four games here. What do you think the Red Sox record is coming out of these four games?
I think that they're going to split the series, but I have literally no idea which games are going to split. I think that, it would not surprise me at all if Maeda or Berríos was like, oh, I went seven innings and didn't give up any runs or gave up one run. It wouldn't surprise me at all, but it also wouldn't surprise me at all if, especially Pineda, but like also have just had a bad day. So I'm going with the split.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going with too, just with the pitching and offense and just kind of, you know, shruggy emojis beginning of the season. I really do think that it's going to be a split here. But it really is going to be a very exciting series.
Let me ask you a question. If this was last Sunday night after they had just been swept by the Orioles, and we asked, and they were facing the Twins in the same series, same timeline, but before the 6-game winning streak, what would you have said? Because I would have said they would have gotten swept.
Yeah, I might have said like they would have won 1 out of 4 because I absolutely love Nathan Eovaldi. So I probably would have gave him that game. But outside of that, I don't think that I would give them a fighting chance.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. And it's unfortunate from our perspective that he has to face Maeda. But,
yes, it does.
But you got to do what you got to do.
Yep. But Brian, thanks for, you know, joining me on this recap pod. It was really great to talk with you. Is there anything that you want to plug or anything, whatever?
I mean, my Twitter account is at Brian Joyner, Brian with a Y, Joyner with an I. I write a Substack very occasionally, oldmandynasty.substack.com. I also like to needle Keaton on DM, and I will continue to do that. And that's just a personal message to him for when he listens to this. But thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you aboard. And Keaton, please respond to the DMs. Can you just come on? You can do that.
And my dynasty trade offers, Keaton. Come on, it was a good trade. Sorry.
Come on, it was a great trade. Come on. Okay. Again, thanks for listening. You can follow, this pod, wherever you get your pods, and follow the Over the Monster podcast at Over the Monster. You can follow me at Shelly_643. And, thanks for listening.